Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Just absolutely incredible weather. I mean, this weather is great. I mean, for 3 or 4 weeks we had yuck weather. Now it's beautiful. So I'm doing wonderful. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice, and I shall be glad in it. You know, more and more news is coming out now about this assassination and what this general was doing in Iraq to start with, apparently at the behest of the United States government, who had given him safe conduct and safe transport and basically had cleared all of this stuff. So that's why I guess they knew where he was going to be. But Karen sent me an interesting article in here, and it said the Iranian general the U.S. killed was actually fighting ISIS. That is true. Not only that, when he was killed, he was on a peace mission agreed upon by the Saudi government and the Iraqi government, and also approved and sanctioned through the U.S. government. He was mediating a peace agreement between the Saudi kingdom and Iran to cease hostilities when he was killed, according to this article. Now, this is, I'm reading the article. The U.S. knew this, and basically Israel was upset about all of this stuff. According to the prime minister of Iraq, the Iranian general was supposed to meet him, bringing a message from Iran's leaders to bring him a relay to the Saudis accepting a peace arrangement. A radio program in the Middle East announced all of this, and of course it was knocked off the air when it happened. So it's interesting what's going on. So I don't know how much of this is actually accurate. I don't know. I mean, all of it is just unbelievable how we get lied to all of the time. Because remember, the U.S. government lies constantly. It's part of the propaganda mission that we have going on an ongoing basis by the media and the government in our country that's been usurped by the international banking cartels. You know, I was reading an article earlier with Paul Craig Roberts, and in fact, I spent quite a bit of time this morning reading it. I've got it posted on the website, and it talks about what really happened with the Soviet aggression prior to World War II and the Soviet involvement against Germany, and how the Soviet was amassing troops on the border of Germany to invade all of Europe. Listen to me, guys, all of Europe. And Germany knew what was going on, that they were going to break their treaty they had with them and invade Germany and France and go all the way to England to basically take over the entire continent for the Soviet Union. Remember, this was all being financed through the Rothschild banking cartel with their expansion of communism throughout the world. It was their big push, and then Hitler found out about it and realized that the treaty that he had with Russia was basically going to be completely and totally shut down. So he went ahead and preemptively invaded Russia before they could get their armaments on his border. Remember, I believe this too. I believe this is true, and here's why. When Germany went into Poland because of the dispute from the Versailles Treaty and invaded Poland, Russia also invaded Poland because Germany wasn't prepared yet for a big offensive. Russia also invaded Poland, but when England declared war on Germany because they were allies with Poland, they did not declare war on Russia. I mean, this whole thing was staged by the bankers. And then what ended up happening is Germany did everything they could to fight off the Russian aggression on the Eastern Front, but were overwhelmed with the unbelievable armaments that the Russians were able to produce because it was being financed through the international bankers. And the United States was pouring steel in through the Pacific into the ports of Russia on the eastern side of Russia, and they were being transported via transit train and all across Russia to where the tanks were coming out. They were having some of the most advanced tanks, which could handle all kinds of shells, would move very, very quickly. And Russia was putting out thousands and thousands and thousands of tanks. And what was crazy is the international banking cartel was financing all of this for Russia to do a full invasion of Europe. And Germany stood in the path of this and basically had to fight the Soviets. And the Soviets were going to run through all of Europe. And then they had this, basically this treaty after World War II. And that's one of the reasons the Soviets were given half of Europe, because they knew that they had basically conquered this part of Europe and they didn't want to give it back. And the Allies were kind of like apprehensive about going to a full-scale war with Russia because of what they had just seen, what had happened with Germany. So it's an interesting story to read. So read this article that I posted on the Health Masters website, and also read the other book that I've promoted to you guys repeatedly. It's been banned by Amazon, called The Bad War. It's free online. It's a PDF. I'll probably go ahead and post it again as a free PDF on our website. But read that. The story we were told about World War II and how we got into it was a lie, especially with the whole thing with the Japanese, with Roosevelt, who was a Rothschild, basically controlled communist agent. Always remember that. Roosevelt was a communist, and he basically wanted communism in the United States. That's what he was pushing for. The New Deal, the Great Deal, and all that was to bring communism into the United States, and they wanted to facilitate that through the infusion of the Frankfurt School teaching into the universities to promote socialism and basically to destroy the Republic and to destroy nationalism. So this thing is a lot more twisted than even I was aware of as far as Russia's involvement in World War II and Germany's attack of Russia, because we were always told that Hitler was the bad guy and Hitler was basically going to – he broke the treaty with Russia, you know, and how he basically invaded Russia and pushed his army way. Well, the reason he was able to push his army so far in, Russia was busy moving vehicles and troops and in positioning the army, according to this article by Paul Craig Roberts, and so they weren't ready for someone to do the offensive on them. And then what happened is Hitler, of course, ran out of fuel, and Hitler ran out of springtime and summertime, and the reason he invaded them when he did is they were scheduled to do the invasion in the fall when he did it in the summer, so he basically jumped the gun on it all to stop them from invading all of Europe. So, again, Russia's takeover by the Rothschild banking cartel is well documented. And they hated the Tsar of Russia because the Tsar of Russia's family 100 years earlier had basically bailed out the European countries from the bankruptcy that had occurred before the Napoleonic Wars. And because what happened is the banking cartel was going to take over all of Europe, and Russia stopped it. They paid off the bills. And the Tsar's family was hated by the Rothschilds because of this. The immense fortune of the Russian Tsars was just incredible, and they were able to bail all of Europe out. And because of that, these guys basically decided they were going to wipe out the entire Russian family, the royal family. And that's, of course, what we saw when Nicholas was killed with his family and his children and everything else. But the U.S. government lies constantly, and the burden of proof is on the accuser. This is another article here today. This is a really, really good article. I've got it posted also. And it says that here's what it says. The government lies constantly. Over the last 48 hours, this author says he's been splitting his time between learning as much as he possibly can about the U.S. assassination of the top Iranian general and arguing with people online about the need to do this. And he says, what has been made abundantly clear from the particular engagement is that those who have bought into the Trump administration's completely unsubstantiated claims about Soleimani are sincerely unaware that they have unquestionably bought into unsubstantiated U.S. government narratives. People tend to get their information from tightly insulated echo chambers. And if you inhabit an echo chamber that supports the current president, all you'll get is a bunch of officials, pundits, and reporters saying in a confident-sounding tone of voice that Soleimani needed to be taken out. Since they're surrounded by chatter affirming that Soleimani had attacked America or posed an imminent threat in the near future, they assume the chatter must be based on some actual offense of evidence, and it's not. And see, and he says this is a really good article by Dan Maul. He says this is very telling, because I have read every single reply. Not one produced even the slightest shred of indication that Soleimani posed an imminent threat to the U.S. Seriously, Stalin himself would have been proud of such a display of blind, unflinching acceptance of the deep state narrative. Now, the one thing that Paul Craig Roberts talked about in his article on Russia today was that the Russian government constantly lied to the people, and when the people questioned the narrative, they were put basically in the gulags or concentration camps and killed, and tens of millions of them. And what's interesting about this, when you start speaking about this, people basically go nuts as far as supporting Donald Trump. And remember, this is the same thing the American population did in support of George W. Bush when he invaded Iraq, that quagmire that we're in. And now the amazing thing is Trump says we built a multi-billion-dollar airport facility for the military, and now you guys are going to have to pay for that before we leave. Wait a minute. Let me give you guys a newsflash about Iraq. There is no way, unless they shove us out of there through armed conflict, that the United States is leaving Iraq. Iraq is an occupied country, just like Germany still is. We have a giant air force base in Germany, and they've asked us to leave repeatedly. We've told them no. South Korea is basically an occupied country. They have asked us to leave repeatedly. We've told them no. When we have these giant military facilities all over the world, and in the vast majority of cases, you know, they're paid for by the American taxpayer, what ends up happening is we don't want to leave these facilities and we want to maintain them. Now, in some instances, we have left countries when they've asked us to go. But Iraq is too strategic in the Middle East. And plus, his oil reserves are too vast. There's no way that we're going to step out of that country with its proximity to Iran, which, think about this, we can use the military airbase we have in Iraq to launch attacks into Iran. So why would they allow us to leave, or why would the government just pull us out? We got a letter in the other day that said that we were going to leave, and immediately it was retracted. Now, here's some other statistics. The claim that Soleimani posed an imminent threat is completely without evidence. Without evidence, okay? Mike Pence's claim that Soleimani assisted a 9/11 terrorist also is so ridiculous that even the war-loving Washington Post dismissed it. There's no proof that Soleimani directed the strike that allegedly killed a U.S. contractor, even the contractor even existed. There's no proof that Soleimani was involved in any attack on the U.S. embassy, leaving aside the obvious fact that a little graffiti on the walls wouldn't justify the assassination if it did. The hundreds of American deaths line you hear regurgitated by everyone from Trump to Elizabeth Warren actually refers to Iraqis defending themselves from the U.S. illegal invasion of Iraq. Think about what I just said. The claim that Iran was behind Iraqi bombs is without evidence and wouldn't matter if it was true. The claim that Soleimani was a terrorist is only made because the branch of the Iranian military he commanded was arbitrarily designated as a terrorist organization by the U.S. government last year, a designation that any foreign government could just as easily make on any branch of the U.S. military. He was actually a fearsome enemy of ISIS, which I mentioned earlier, and Al-Qaeda, and played a massive role in halting the spread of ISIS. We are being lied to yet again about yet another war on yet another geostrategically crucial Middle Eastern nation, and a huge percentage of the population is marching right along with it again. When Iran retaliates for Soleimani's assassination, these propagandized sheep will be herded by the political mass media into believing the attack was completely unprovoked. And if their credulity thus far is any indication, they swallow the whole load without having so much as a twinge of gag reflex. In other words, they're not even questioning whatsoever what they're being told. Guys, it's so important. I posted this. It's called the Freedom Articles. I posted this online so you can read the entire article. I'm not going to go any further. But guys, again, in the meantime, nobody's thinking about the fact that right now repo panic has returned as the Fed injects another $99 billion in liquidity, including the first oversubscribed term repo in 3 weeks. And just like that, the repo market on the fritz again. More than 2 weeks after the last oversubscribed term repo operation on December 16th, moments ago, the Fed announced that dealers are once again scrambling for liquidity, submitting $41 billion in securities in today's two-week repo program, which was oversubscribed, hitting the maximum operation limit of $35 billion. Today's oversubscription was ominous because while the liquidity shortage into year-end was expected and justified, the barrage term repos ahead of turn, the liquidity shortage was supposed to normalize after the new year, and it has not. Guys, the repo crisis is not going to fix itself. These are short-term loans into that market that we're being told. We don't know how short-term the loans really are, do we? None of us do. None of it's transparent. They could be doing stuff, all kinds of stuff behind the scenes as far as pumping more liquidity into the system. Remember Bernanke when asked where the $29 trillion or $19 trillion went? He goes, oh, I don't know. I don't remember. It was dispersed among banks. When asked to give a list, he refused. Remember, the Fed can't be audited. They refuse to be audited. Ron Paul did a little partial audit with them one time, and they only gave out information they wanted to give out. And so goes it. As I told you, when Donald Trump took office, this country will never be free again until we shake ourselves loose from the shackles of this vampire, blood-sucking squid that we call the Federal Reserve Bank. Ugh. Austin, what do you think?
Well, I mean, pretty much nailed it on the head again, and this is something, you know, I saw yesterday, and I was talking to a couple other people about it. I mean, we know the whole thing about the Lusitania with World War One. That was a complete and total fabrication as far as of what really happened, a manipulation. You talked about it in detail the other day. We know with Pearl Harbor that the lies about that we had no idea that they were coming to do it, and basically we were completely off guard, and all this stuff was a complete and total lie. We found that out later as well. We also know that we were lied to about the Gulf of Tonkin to get us in Vietnam. If you guys don't know anything about that, look it up. Basically, that our boat was essentially attacked twice, and the second time, even the commander, Stockdale, it was adamant that no attack ever occurred. They basically got spooked and started firing because they thought there were submarines. Even the air pilot who was above them said there were no submarines below them whatsoever. There was no attack. That got us into Vietnam, which started doggone draft. Then we had, basically, we were told about the incubator babies over there in Iraq. You guys remember the whole incubator baby hoax, if you guys remember about that. The one girl that basically did the testimony, she said she volunteered at the hospital and saw Iraq soldiers come in and throw the babies out of the incubator and blah, 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 throw them on the room and leave them to die. Then we found out the girl was actually the daughter of a Kuwaiti emir and was coached in basically public relations on how to do false testimony. That was a lie. That goes from basically the Desert Storm. Oh, then remember the whole thing with weapons of mass destruction after 9/11? That whole thing that many of my friends basically enlisted in and got their $50,000 enlistment bonuses to sign up in the infantry so they could go in and take over Iraq. Oh, then we remember Gaddafi. Oh, yeah, remember he was doing mass genocide in Libya, allegedly. Then we found out later on that none of that was true, but that gave us the pretext to invade Libya. Oh, then remember Assad, the same thing. Oh, chlorine gas, this and that, America, the population's getting hit with chemical weapons, blah, 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 more genocide. Okay, we're going to go into Syria now. Guys, if you do your research, you'll find out that pretty much every single war, in most cases, not all of them, but almost every war, is based on some type of manipulation or deception. And there's nothing different than this entire aspect right now. Even what we saw with the whole situation. Remember, what happened, this whole thing that started this with Iran 2 weeks ago, was a U.S. Iraqi military base basically had a missile drop-in on it, a rocket drop-in on it, and multiple contractors ended up getting killed, along with three Army officers. Well, then what happened was Donald Trump turned around, or the Pentagon turned around, and launched a massive attack on an Iraqi military base, killing a number of Iraqi military personnel, including Iraqi Army officers, police, and soldiers belonging to the PMU, which is the People's Mobilization Unit. Though nobody wanted to talk about that. And then, so what happens? Then tons of Iraqi protesters, including families, allegedly, of the people that had gotten killed in the last massive attack on the Iraqi base, came in and started protesting the embassy, started throwing Molotov cocktails, basically started putting flags up, burning, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Everybody goes, they attacked the embassy, they attacked the embassy. No, they attacked the embassy in Benghazi. If you want to see an attack, that's what happened in Benghazi. There was no fatalities at the embassy attack in Iraq last week. There were none. There was nobody being killed. They didn't have a 200-300 man assault team that came in with belt-fed weapons, munitions, and explosives, and mortars like they did on the CIA annex and basically in Benghazi. They didn't do all that. So then what happened was the military drops in 750 fast battalion airborne. Okay, we're going to take over the embassy again. Another 100 Marines basically has U.S. helicopters circling overhead around the entire green zone among civilian neighborhoods in Baghdad. Obviously, the movement was not well received by the Iraqi government, who forbid U.S. military patrols over the green zone as part of their status and agreement with the country that Iraq and the United States has signed. Basically, this went on and on and on, and then all of a sudden we hear, okay, well, because they came over to the embassy and lit it on fire and basically attacked a U.S. embassy, we're going to take out a convoy that basically has General Soleimani in it. And then the whole thing, as you guys see from going on now. But what we're also finding out as well is that before this whole thing even started, from the very beginning, back in late December, there were already plans to take out this guy, this general. And from what I'm also hearing now, and I can't verify this yet, but this general was also allegedly involved in the weapons running through Libya, was also involved in essentially the Benghazi attack in Libya, working with the Clintons and Obama. I can't verify that 100%, but I'm getting multiple feedback from that on people. Whether or not it's true yet, I don't know. But so there's a whole weird web of twists and lies that's going on in the Middle East right now. No doubt about it. 100%, we are not being told the truth. And if you look back, like I said, the whole thing with 9/11 was complete and totally egregious to me because it got my... Remember, I was in that entire generation as a teenager. I watched a ton of my friends go off and fight in a war because everybody was so angry about what happened. I also watched a lot of them come back because I was always hung out with older kids. I was a couple years younger than everybody. I watched a lot of kids come back from that war. Some never came back. None of them came back the same. None of them. Some of them missing body parts. Some of them crippled up. Pretty much all of them functioning alcoholics. I watched all that. I went through that in my teenage years. And by that time, I was so intrigued with what was going on, I wanted to go into the United States Marine Corps when I got out of college as an officer in the Marine Corps. And I planned on doing so, and I had everything together. I basically went and took my ASVAB, went to MEPS, got cleared, had everything ready to go, and started to realize more and more and more, the closer it got, that I wasn't being told the truth, and more people coming back from Iraq, and this time we're in Afghanistan now, and everybody's telling me what we're doing over there. And then all of a sudden, the gay Kenyan gets elected, and I'm going, what in the world is going on? And I start reading and researching and researching and figuring out what's going on. I go, something's not right here. None of this adds up. Then we find out the whole thing was a lie with the weapons of mass destruction, and that broke the whole narrative with everybody. And everybody goes, what are we doing now? We find out that Saudi Arabia was involved in 9/11 and rogue elements of other agencies, whether it be the CIA or the Mossad or whoever. So we start realizing all this stuff, and I started going, this is a lie. We're not being told what's going on here. Something else is going on behind the scenes. And that's when I decided, I said, okay, I'm backing out of this now, and I'm going to actually do some cognitive functioning with my own brain and not just mindlessly follow everybody else because we all want to go get in a fight because we're young-blooded teenagers with way too much testosterone. And it's always interesting. If you look at the numbers, guys, it's about every 20 to 30 years we have another war that we generally end up precipitating at some point in time. And it almost appears to me, and this is my opinion, that these wars are being used repeatedly to cull out the aggressive male population in the United States. We see what happened with the Civil War. That was an atrocity. Then we had World War I. Then we had World War II. Then we had Vietnam. Then you got all these other wars in between. Then you got the Gulf. Then we got the Iraqi War after 9/11. That's been gone going into Afghanistan for almost 20 years now. Now we're about to have another war in Iran. Has anybody ever noticed that? That there's always this constant war that we're sending our troops to for them to get shot and killed and maimed and basically dismembered on a regular basis? I've always thought that's odd, how it always seems to be about another every 20 to 30 years we have some major war that we send our boys off to. And I mean, could that be that the globalists are so keen and so brilliant with making wars, as almost all wars are banker wars, that they've realized warfare out of the country is one of the easiest ways to keep the population subdued, to keep the aggressive population culled, to make sure that we don't have another whiskey rebellion so forth, like we did after the Revolutionary War and so many other instances? It's just my personal take on it, but something I just wanted to kind of bring up is that I don't know what's happening behind the scenes over there, but I know one thing. We don't need to send ground troops into Iran. If we decide we need to go wide open, then we're going to go wide open. There's nothing I can do to change it. But, I mean, sending more troops to a country that we don't need to be in, that's allied with Russia and China, no good, guys. But I have a feeling now we've already poked the hornet's nest with these insane Muslims over there, and there's probably going to be some repercussions for that very, very soon. And that's why I've continually told everybody, make sure you have everything well prepped on a regular basis. Your food, your water. You got to think about it. If you have a power outage and there's no power, power grid goes down, no power for a couple days, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you can be able to function. You can be able to heat food still. You can be able to stay warm. You can have purified water. Those are all things that you need to have on backup. The ability to eat and drink and stay warm. Your main three all together all the time without any type of power. And if you can do that, you're going to be better than about 90% of the population through that situation. But that's pretty much my take on it, Deb.
Well, you know, Austin, the story about you not going to the military, I kept talking to you. You were 19 years old. You'd graduated from college at 19 with your bachelor's degree. I mean, I don't like telling everybody that because that sounds so, you know, amazing that you did that. But you did that. You got the diploma to prove it with a date on it. And so, you know, I'm really proud of you for having done that. But I told you at that point, I said, look, if you want to do this, if you want to go into the Marine Corps as an officer with the OCS program, you can do that. But you got to think about what you're getting yourself involved in. You got to think about the fact that all, because by that time I was wide awake. I said, by that time I told Austin, I said, you know, this whole thing we're being told about, all of this is a lie. It's all a lie. And I said, well, you're going over there to fight another banker war. And I said, that's where you're headed. And then when the Gay Canyon, and it was, by the way, Joan Rivers was very clear about Obama being gay and Michelle being a transgender. So when I quote her by saying that, I'm being very sincere. This is not being facetious. I'm quoting Joan Rivers. In addition to that, you can go online and you can find multiple accounts of Obama's involvement in gay bars and gay clubs in Chicago. Multiple accounts, including him being gay when he was in high school by his fellow classmates. So this isn't a joke when I say that. A lot of you guys, well, who cares if he's gay? Look, here's the deal. I'm just going to tell you straight. I don't give a rat's bottom that Obama was gay. I don't care. Here's what I care about. He lied about it. That he lied about it. And he had a transgender wife in the White House. And that they made a spectacle of the United States and treated us all as if we were fools and that we didn't know. And then Joan Rivers came out. Of course, she was dead almost immediately after she came out with that story and told people the truth. See, that's the problem I have. I mean, I'm libertarian and all that. I told you guys that the other day. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I follow the word of the Scripture as far as what it says we should and shouldn't do with our lives. But if we had Obama elected and he was gay and he was elected with a transgender wife, I'd be like, oh, well, people wanted a queer president along with a queer wife. What the heck is she anyhow? She's a, and what ended up happening is I wouldn't care. I'd be like, I don't approve of it. I didn't vote for him, but oh, well. But it's this obfuscation, this never-ending lying that I hate. God, I hate liars. And that's the problem with all of it. You know, I mean, even if Obama came out, but see, they know that if it ever came out and the media publicly admitted that Obama was gay and Michelle was a guy. I mean, guys, watch the videos on YouTube of her walking around wearing a silk dress with an apparent something between her legs that looks pretty much like she's a guy. Now, I can't be any more graphic than that without getting to an R-rated show, but the ridiculous thing is, why does anybody believe she's not a guy? I mean, you see this thing hanging between her legs. So it's a problem that we have in the United States with this never-ending lying. So when Austin finally realized, hey, wait a minute, you know, Dad's right about this. Let me think through this. I don't really want to serve under the Gay Canyon. And at that point in time, he backed out, decided not to do the OCS program, to my just absolutely delight. I was so happy he wasn't going to do that because, like Austin said, all of his friends that had gone to Iraq and had gone to Afghanistan had come back. None of them came back the same. He had really good friends that had gone over there. They were pretty normal people. They came back and they're like schizoid. They're like on psychiatric meds. They're like suffering from massive post-traumatic stress syndrome from having fragged families and children and babies in houses with grenades as they basically breached the perimeters. You know, you can't kill but so many kids, like zero, and not have it affect you. You can't, it's, unless you're some kind of psychopath. You see, and this is the thing that people need to realize. When you go into the military, it ain't going to be what you think it's going to be. Look at those boys at D-Day invasion. I mean, who in the world would have thought that a lot of them wouldn't even get off the doggone troop transports of the water? They would drown and be, you know, basically strafed by the machine gun fire when the front of the things open. Somebody should have thought about how they did that and gone a little bit more into detail on how to allow that to happen without the killing of all those troops. And of course, I know we had the paratroopers drop in behind the enemy lines, but that was a giant disaster. That thing was one of the most disorganized disasters in the history of warfare, and the only reason we succeeded is because the Germans were effectively defending the Normandy beaches and had moved their troops much further north, and where they were waiting for Patton either to come in through the south or for the north. They weren't expecting them to come in where they came in. So the reality is this. These government bureaucrats don't care about your children or my children or Austin's children. And I believe Austin is right. I believe that every so often there has to be a culling of the general population of alpha males because they realize they don't want these guys to breed and to raise additional little alpha males. So if they can render them ineffective as far as breeding or raising children by giving them post-traumatic stress syndrome or putting them on all of these different meds, is very effective from a tool standpoint as far as reducing the population of aggressive males. Now, I can't say that any more clearly. If it makes any sense, I hope it does. But this is exactly what they're doing, and they continue to do this. They do it with the fluoride. Now they're coming out and saying that, oh, by the way, we do realize that we're spreading polio because of the polio vaccine, because it's being mutated and basically causing people to come down with polio in these areas where it's being used. Now, I'm like, well, I told you guys this years ago. And guys, this is from NPR.org, Global Health, how the oral polio vaccine can cause polio. It came out about a month or so ago, and I've got it posted on the website now. It says one of the vaccines used to prevent polio has actually been causing people to get polio. So there you go. You know, and so here's the deal. And, you know, it's just one of those things that we need to understand. You know, the live virus is continued to be used worldwide, and it's mutating, and it's going out of the feces, into the body fluids, etc. And what ends up happening is it's being transmitted to other people all over the world. So, guys, it's one of those things that we need to understand that they're lying to us about this. I mean, if there's one vaccine I would never take, ever, it'd be polio, because you're taking a live virus. It's not something you want to put into your body in any concentrations at all. And again, think through it. I know so many people who were completely normal. They were given the polio vaccine, this live virus, and they came down with polio. And look what happened, too, with this. They gave a Simeon 40 vaccine. This is the contaminant that was in it from live kidney cancer cells, and it gave us all, 100 million people were given this doggone product, and we have bone, breast, brain cancer through the roof now because of this live kidney virus cell. And here's the irony. This Simeon 40 was given to the people back in the 60s, my generation, 100 million of us, almost the entire population of the United States. And what happened is, you know, we have children and grandchildren now who have been changed genetically from the epigenetics of this to basically be contaminated with it still. What a mess. I urge all of you to take the D3K2, the potassium iodide, the vitamin C every day, because, guys, they're doing everything they can as an all-out assault on the immune systems right now, and the IQ scores, by the way, in the United States, because they want a dumbed-down, sick population because it's easier to control. The Soviets, if you read the article that Paul Craig Roberts posted, it's on the website now. If you read that article, it says that the Soviet Union would take their top scientists and basically lock them up in prison and give them blueprints of the German tanks and the American tanks and say, if you can develop a better tank, we will stop torturing you and let you out of prison. That was the incentive. We'll let you out of prison if you can produce a better blueprint. I mean, this is the extent of which the Rothschild banking cartel is willing to go. They're willing to lock up people and tell them, you're going to be a prisoner until you decide you can build a better product. What the heck? Talk about disincentive. You know, of course, pain's always been a big motivator, hasn't it, guys? If you're going to get like somebody's going to shock you with a cattle prod every time you wake up in the morning until you come up with a better plan, you're probably going to come up with a better plan. And the Soviet armament, especially their tank forces, were unbelievable because we, the United States of America, through our Federal Reserve Bank, who was borrowing money through our banks, loaning it, putting it on the population of the United States, basically were giving the Soviet Union huge amounts of steel and raw material to run through their factories that we helped pay for. Because remember, the Rothschild banking cartel that funded the Soviet Union and the whole revolution in Russia is the same group that owns our Federal Reserve Bank, and they want that same thing to come into our country. That's why we see it now. We see people like Cortez, who was a bartender. Nothing wrong with that. She was a bartender. She answered a help wanted ad to be a congresswoman. Kid you not. Basically an audition, and was put into position by a group of hardcore communists so she could read scripts and vote the way she's been told to vote. That's why when she comes off the script, she has no idea what she's talking about. She probably knows how to make a good screwdriver or a good drink, but she sure doesn't know how to run a country or run Congress. But yet, because of her communist affiliation, she's been pushed to the forefront now of congressional leaders, and every time you see Breitbart or Drudge or Fox or CBS or NBC, and they're talking about congressional leaders, they always put her at the front. Why? Because the same Rothschild banking cartel that ran the Soviet Union, that caused the revolution in Russia, the same Rothschild banking cartel that runs us to the Federal Reserve Bank, put her in power. And they did it through George Soros, who was funded through the Rothschild banking cartel as a cutout, just like J.P. Morgan. It's all the same people. That's why I did that show on the Kabbalah a couple of months ago, and I said, guys, you've got to take a look at this and see who these people are and what they really believe. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said. I mean, and this is why they're doing the best they can to prevent the American population from being able to defend themselves. This is what this whole thing comes back down to, exactly what Dad's talking about. If you keep taking a population and you keep enslaving them and you keep stealing from them and you keep lying to them, after a while, they're going to get fed up. And after a while, when you have that population, and that population has hundreds of millions of firearms, that population at some point in time is going to stand up and say, no more. Genug. Enough. This is over with. I'm done. I'm not putting up with your crap any longer. And that's why they're doing the best they can to take the weapons slowly from the population. For example, in California right now, a bunch more bills that were basically signed last year have now gone into law for 2020 for gun laws. And you guys already know, I mean, getting a gun in California is already like next to impossible. Not to mention, the only thing you can buy in California is like super low capacity weapons, period. You can't buy anything over 10-round magazine. The AR-15s over there are a joke if you can even really buy one anymore, the way they've restricted it. You can't buy ammunition unless you get a background check now. Now the bill passed where you can't buy more than one firearm every 30 days. So if you buy a shotgun and you're going hunting and you go, hey, I need to grab another pistol too while I'm going out, they say, oops, sorry, you got to wait 30 days before you can purchase another firearm. And on top of that as well, they've also made sure that the same thing that happened down here in Florida, you can't even buy any type of long gun or any gun whatsoever unless you're 21. They've also went in on it. And they've prohibited anybody from owning a gun for the rest of their life if they've ever been admitted into a health facility more than one time within 1 year, period.
There you go.
If you've had issues, if you've had psychological problems, and you've gotten back from Afghanistan and you're trying to cope with everything over there, and you basically go to a mental facility to try to get some help, and then you come back and you say, hey, I need to buy a gun. They go, sorry, you were banned from life. You cannot own a firearm now. Don't you understand? This is communist California. You can't own a firearm here. Are you kidding me? You need to go to another free state. This is exactly what they're doing. And now, remember the same thing I warned everybody about? They now allow anybody, essentially, teacher, employee, employer, coworker, pretty much anybody to file a red flag gun law on you now in California. I mean, just about anybody. Anybody that can pretty much have contact with you at any point in time, as far as in passing or even light contact, they can go in now and say, John Smith, he's a worker. He works with me over at this office. You know, he's made some comments about being pro-gun and supporting his family and protecting his family. I think he's a threat. I think he's a grave threat to everybody around here because, you know, I'm a liberal. I'm a communist. I voted for Hillary. I don't like it when people talk about being able to defend themselves. And so I need you guys to look at him. Bam. Immediate reason for a red flag gun law search warrant. And they go in, they go to your house, they strip all your firearms from you, and you know the whole drill. I've talked about it enough over there. That's how far they've taken it in California. So best believe that's what the beta test is. And it's always funny to me, and I've talked about this to a few people, especially people that have been retired military, especially in strategy and stuff like that, is that we know California is pretty much, that's the Western exposure. If anything were to occur as far as an actual ground invasion in the United States from China or Russia, it would be California. Obviously, coming around the East Coast, that's, I mean, you could do, you know, submarines and warships, but a true ground invasion would only be with the West Coast. And it's ironic that the bankers and the communists are doing everything they can to make California as soft as physically possible, including preventing you from buying ammunition without a background check and limiting the amount of ammunition you can buy at one time, even with a background check, essentially making California probably the softest state for penetration by a military force throughout the entire country, considering its landmass to the Pacific. Just thought I would bring that up there. It's ironic California has done that. And then you have also, too, as Dad was talking about, where we're having these all these vaccines popping up all the time. And somebody sent me this from Assembly Bill A-99 in New York, New York State. Now, this bill was pre-filed last year in 2019, and it looks like it hit the floor and it didn't get any traction. And it allegedly is going to be filed again when the Assembly meets again in a couple days. And Assembly Bill A-99, what it is it allows the governor to quarantine and detain anybody. Hey, I'm going to read it to you guys. You guys want to know this. It says, the removal and detention of cases, contacts, or carriers who may be a danger to public health, upon determining by a clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a contact or carrier, or a suspected case, that's in here, suspected case of a contact carrier contagious disease, is that in the opinion of the governor, any communicable disease, it clarifies that, any communicable disease, it actually says that right in here. Basically, a law, after consultation with the commissioner, the governor can pose an imminent significant threat to the public health and basically state that those people, they may issue an order to remove and detain of such person or groups of such persons by issuing a single order. And those individuals, in no event shall any person be detained for more than 60 days without a court order authorizing such detention, and the governor or his or her delegee shall seek further court review of such detention within 90 days following the initial court order, and thereafter within 90 days of each subsequent court review. This is indefinite detention, guys. If they believe that you could have any type of communicable disease, or you may have a suspected case, or may be a threat to anybody with any communicable disease. And then it goes on further how they're supposed to handle you and, you know, human rights and all this other stuff. This is pretty doggone ominous, the fact that the governor wants to have literally unlimited carte blanche immunity to be able to detain anybody he wants with any communicable disease or any suspected case of any communicable disease. You already remember in New York, they already told us what they were planning on doing. They already restricted individuals under the age of 18 from going out in any public area if they had not been vaccinated. Not if they had the measles. No. Not if they basically were contaminated or they were carriers. None of that. If they simply had not been vaccinated. So you can pretty much bet your lucky dollar that the governor is going to say any communicable disease and a possible suspect, because this individual has not had their full vaccines, they have to be detained and they have to be quarantined. This is what happens when you start living in a tyrannical government. You don't have the ability to defend yourself. This is how far it goes. And then it takes a step further, exactly what I told you guys yesterday at the end of the show. I was going to dig into detail a little bit further. That now the technology of Finland's University of Oulu has now recently announced their full funding of 6Genesis, the 8-year 6G program to conceptualize 6G under the auspice of University Center for Wireless Communications. Apart from providing precision location to a fraction of an inch, supplementing GPS, 6G imaging techniques will also identify any person or moving object. The 6G intelligence immersive infrastructure will support low latency, virtual reality, augmented reality, and seamless telepresence throughout the entire United States. 6G supporting the future of autonomous vehicles, platooning, and intelligent roads. Part of how that will work is through wideband inter-car links, which communicate data and measure vehicle locations to the millimeter. These links will anticipate and manage any movement and proximity. I can't even make this stuff up. And the whole program that's now been fully funded and is piloting for 6G is called 6Genesis. as in Genesis chapter 6. That's why I'm rehashing this, because I brought it up yesterday briefly on the show yesterday. This is what 5G was all about that I've been warning everybody for over 2 years. The 5G program was nothing more than a stair-step platform to get to 6G with the infrastructure. And they wanted to get all the laws into place with 5G, like they've done now with the FCC, that prevents any local municipality, city or county, from preventing 5G from coming into their city. This wasn't an accident they did this, because 6G is stair-stepping off 5G. And then also, in the event of a national emergency or any type of catastrophe or weather event, 6G, along with 5G, will be the full priority side-by-side to electricity, so they can make sure that the 6G system is brought into place. But, I mean, this stuff that they're talking about, virtual reality, seamless telepresence, augmented reality, being able to measure things to the location of a millimeter and anticipate and manage any vehicle movement anywhere in the United States, this is what the whole program is building on, and this is why they want to make sure 5G is fully implemented, so when they flip those machines on and they increase the wavelength on them and they put 6G on them, the entire system's a full-blown Internet of Thing grids. And that is why I told everybody, especially in rural areas that don't have this yet, do everything you can to prevent 5G from coming into your city, to try to at least kick this can down the road as far as possible, because the only way to get 6G operational is to have 5G completely operational nationwide. And that is why they're spending, what, over $2.5 trillion to put this into place. It's not because they care about us having internet that's 1/100th of a second faster. It's not about so we have slightly quicker streaming speeds so we can watch our Netflix movies. I don't watch Netflix, I'm being sarcastic. That's not at all about, but that's how they sold it to the American population. And the population's so gullible, they think this stuff is actually for us, and it's to make our internet faster, and that there's no side effects, even though this stuff has never even been thoroughly tested at 5G on human subjects for any significant period of time, not a, much less 6G. This is what it's turning into. This is where they're taking it. They want an Internet of Things with a full-blown internet grid with seamless telepresence, virtual reality, and being able to track and image techniques to where you are within a millimeter, Dad. And it all is called 6Genesis. It can't get much more ominous than that.
Well, again, this is when every thought of every man was evil all the time. I mean, the Austin is brilliant that you brought that up, because that's exactly what they're doing. And this is crazy. They put it right in your face. 6Genesis, Genesis chapter 6, you know, when the fallen angels ruled the planet, basically, is yeah. where it was, when they had full, completely control using pyramids, you know, and that doggone Black Knight satellite, whatever the heck that thing is, over the North Pole that no one wants to talk about. Yeah, I want you guys to look that one up. And, you know, it's one of those things, guys. We have been occupied before God fixed it. And he had to go to absolutely extreme measures by flooding the entire planet and pulling the continents apart to shut the system down. But he had enough of it, because he'd looked down at the planet. He was grieved that he had created man, and they become so evil because they allow themselves to be infused by Lucifer, is what they did, through the ancient Canaanite religions and through the building of all of this weird alien artifact technique stuff that they still have that we don't want to talk about because it doesn't fit into our paradigm of what we think the world should be. Humans are funny. They want to have an exact interpretation of what the real world is that's Pollyanna. In other words, we don't want to think that maybe there's a nefarious purpose for certain things. And they've done the best they can to stop reasoning skills. They've been very effective in the Muslim communities, because the Muslims can marry first cousins, and the IQ scores have dropped precipitously over thousands of years. The Muslims at one time, you know, 1,000 years ago, were incredibly brilliant people. I mean, they were developing things about the universe, and the earth wasn't flat way before we did, okay? But they haven't continued in that because of the constant inbreeding they've done for over 1,000 years. And the problem with all of this is, this is what the controllers want. They want us to be inbred. Like, the perfect example, talk about the 5G. Right now, in Atlanta, the Atlanta police will no longer chase criminals if they attempt to flee. Now, why would that happen? Atlanta Police Chief Erica Shields has instituted a new no-chase policy. She says she does not want officers to cost someone else their lives in pursuit of an auto thief or a burglar. Her policy is to release criminals instead of locking them up. Critics say the policy is in reaction to incidents where civilians have been hurt or killed by suspects driving at high speeds to evade police. Shields acknowledged that her decision will drive up crime. Okay, now let me stop for a second. Atlanta is one of the most surveilled cities on the planet. Almost all of the highways there are basically part of an interstate transport system that has cameras everywhere to track everyone. So they don't really have to worry, do they, guys, about chasing somebody? They'll just track them, you know, with their AI. Find out exactly where they live, find out who the car belongs to, and track it with the doggone cameras to find out who was in the car. This is what they're going to go to, a full control dominated grill. I was talking grid. I was talking to my insurance company the other day. I mentioned this last week, and they wondered if I wanted to have my iPhone linked directly to the State Farm network of safe drivers so they could monitor my speeding or my not speeding or my running a stop sign or my not running a stop sign or all of the above in order to give me a better rate on my insurance. My response was no. Gosh. What are you going to do? Oh, you were 3 miles an hour over the speed limit here, so we're going to raise your insurance right now. You signed on this.
Yep.
What the heck, man? Who's going to do stuff like that? But they do. By the way, Australian police are arresting people now for arson, saying that it's the arsonists that are basically causing these massive problems all over the country. And it is to do that. Another story, 18 Republican governors are asking for more refugees in their states while charities are cashing in and grifting off of American taxpayers. We talked about charities that grift yesterday. Also, the UN has approved China-backed internet convention that could lead to a censorship of free expression in pretext of crime fighting. The UN has approved a new convention led by Russia and backed by China that would counter the criminal use of information and communication technologies, but the criminals may become any criticism of any government officials. In other words, you tell the truth, you're criticizing, and you can't do that at all whatsoever. Also, another story, criminal justice reform uses excuse of racism to empty out U.S. prisons, leading to skyrocketing murder rates. U.S. murder rates are skyrocketing across the country as a result of so-called criminal justice reform that allows perpetrators of violent crimes to be released without bail and without serving time. Emptying the prisons is being done in the name of racial justice. However, the increase in murders is mostly affecting the black communities. Thousands more black lives will all be lost. This is because of this injustice that's being happening right now. Guys, here's the thing about this. If they empty out the criminals in these prisons who are violent offenders and they start killing more and more people, what's the first thing the left is going to scream about? We need more gun control! More gun control! We have more people getting shot, more violent offenders. They'll never go back to the fact they left these guys out who shot multiple people before they went to prison and they like to shoot people for fun or for sport. They won't mention that. They'll just say, oh, the law-abiding citizens have to be disarmed because the criminals are running amok. They're never going to admit that they're the ones that release the criminals. It's the craziest thing when you see how the Frankfurt School really does all of this stuff and how they never basically even think about what their side effects are going to be. By the way, Sean Samet told police he was stabbed for being Jewish, but his Apple Watch caught him in a lie. He later admitted he stabbed himself. I mean, this is in Bloomfield, Michigan. I mean, you know, this guy saying, oh, I'm Jewish, it's a hate crime. But I'm going to stab myself so I can make some, this is kind of like a Jesse Smollett guy. I mean, think about it, guys. I'm going to hang myself and run to my hotel room with a noose around my neck so I get more publicity. Yeah, didn't work out so well for him, did it? Of course, now he's got giant lawsuits on Chicago Police Department, and he'll probably collect tens of millions of dollars because he staged a fake crime. Unbelievable. And here's the other real reason the United Nations wants control over the Internet. Obama allowed a U.S. contract with Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers to expire in 2016. ICANN assigns IP addresses to maintain stability and security of the Internet. As planned, the United Nations picked up that contract and now has the power to throttle the Internet. The Internet of Things is the big prize that will fund total control of human activity and is expected to generate $3 trillion in revenue by 2025 and continue to grow by 30% a year. If the U.S. taxes the Internet of Things as it plans to do, it finally will be self-funded without relying on member states. ICANN has the ability to assign a unique and directly addressable number to every electronic device on Earth, including air conditioners, computers, automobiles, cameras, telephones, refrigerators, thermostats, articles of clothing, and much, much more. Hence the use of smart dust and what they're doing from these airplanes. Guys, wow. A lot of information on today's show. I love you guys, but you guys remember something right now. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And the blood of Christ continues to energize you and renew your DNA because you're in covenant with the Most High God. As we read about these world events, remember something, guys. We are just passing through. I love you guys. I got to pray for you this morning. Austin, finish it up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But that was well said at the end. And, I mean, that's why we have to be doing the best we can with the time that we have down here. And that's why we at Health Masters are trying to just get this information out there to wake people up and just to seek people with the truth. Because, like I said, you know, I was the same way when I was younger. I was all gung-ho, let's go, you know, rah-rah, hoot-rah, let's go fight another war. And once you start realizing what it's done and what it's doing, because I'm all about, you guys understand that, like, I'm all about fighting, especially when I was younger. I mean, I grew up in jiu-jitsu, I grew up in karate. I mean, that's what I did for years. So, I mean, fighting is just second nature to me. But you have to be fighting for the right reason. Are you fighting to protect somebody? Are you fighting to keep something that you love? Are you fighting for truth? But just to fight, to go to war for somebody else so they can make more money and kill more people and have more control, interests me none to go fight for them. If they want to do it, they can go fight for themselves. And they can go over the sandbox. These bankers can go do it and send their kids over there. Not ours. We don't need to be involved in another protracted war again, but now we're stuck in a rock in a hard place, and we're going to see how this plays out with these guys over there. So, again, stay prepped, stay ready, always, always, always do the best you can to keep some type of defensive measures on you or with you or in your vehicle at all times. There's just many incidences that I've been involved in, I've seen people involved in, where, you know, it's a split second and you have to make that decision right now. And you need to make sure if that happens, you have the ability to defend yourselves. And again, thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Check out the product of the week and the other specials we have going on right now, including the 3-pack special of the Purple Sticks, which is on the front page of the website, the magnesium on product of the week, and be sure to vote for what you want to see win tomorrow. It looks like the zinc and the CLA and the memory support and the muscle blast, all of them are pushing pretty close together, neck and neck. So be sure to vote for what you want to see win. Thank you again for the support, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.